Welcome, First Church. We're so glad that you could join us this morning. You know, we've been in quarantine for a long time now, and I think we've reached a point where we've started to settle in. And with that settling in, I think comes complacency and apathy and maybe even depression. You know, I think at this point we've lost a lot of energy and we started to become exhausted with the current situation. We don't know when it's going to end. We don't know how long it's going to take, and we've just accepted our new normal. As we enter into this time of worship, I want to remind you, you are about to encounter the living God. You are about to worship the God who created the universe and who has given us life. And He, in His Spirit, gives us new life every day. He softens our hearts. He comforts us. He's there for us. And He loves us. So as you enter into this time of worship, remember you're not alone. You're joining your brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world. And know that God's Spirit is with you. If you're tired, if you feel complacent, if you feel apathetic or depressed, remember, God is breathing life into us. So if you would you please pray with me? Dear God, as we enter into this time, let our minds and our hearts be focused on You. God, destroy all the other distractions around us. God, draw us into Your presence. Let Your Spirit just be prevalent in our lives. God, fill us with a heart that longs to worship You, and fill us with Your life, that we would be rejuvenated in this time. We love You, and we thank You for how good You are to us. It's in Your Son's name we pray these things. Amen.
And welcome to our home. We're happy to be worshiping with you again. We want you to worship freely. We want you to sing out, lift your hands, lift your heart, meet with the Lord as we worship and as we meet with Him now. I think we have this unique We're in this unique position where we can really just be ourselves right there in our own homes. And right in our own home, that's where church really starts. So before we get started, would you pray with us? God, we thank You. We thank You for your love, for Your mercy, for Your compassion, for all the things that just make You so worthy of worship. God, we thank You for all of it. God, keep it fresh in our hearts, keep it fresh in our minds how good You are as we worship You. And Lord, as we come to You with a heart of surrender, as we come to You with a heart of humility and a heart of praise, God, I ask that Your Spirit would fill the homes that are full of true, genuine worship. God, I pray that You would meet with each of us in a special way. And we ask these things in Your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
out real loud, guys, all right? I'll come to worship.
For too long, I've wandered. For too long, I've roamed. I've looked for fulfillment but found no home. My heart, my soul grieving. I've struggled with believing, buying into all of this deceiving. And the lies keep pouring in. They told me I'd be okay. If I made enough money at the end of the day, if I got that promotion, if I got that new car, if I got that house with that dog in the yard, I'd be fine. But they lied, 'cause somewhere inside, I'm empty. I need more than what I have, and I'm not even looking for material things. I've had enough of that. I need something deeper, something realer, something that's more than what I'm feeling, 'cause right now, I'm lost, honestly. I mean, I've heard that Jesus died for me, but what does that even mean? Doesn't everybody die? What makes this man so special? What makes him what I need? What makes his blood more powerful when he bleeds? I want to know. I want to understand. So I'm here on this day to find out. I mean, is it true? Did he really?
really raise from the grave? Did he really heal the blind and the lame? Did he really make the world? Did he really calm the seas? If this is true, then he is what I need. So on this day, I choose to believe. Not in a fairy tale, not in a lie, but in hope that he really did rise, in faith that he is who he says he is, in faith that he rose, in faith he ascended and is preparing us a home. If all this is true, then I want to know him.
Good morning to you, folks. It's nice to have you join us here this morning for our church service coming to you from the First Church of Christ, and we're just glad that you've joined us today. You know, we're doing a little bit different format this morning. We're going to worship after I share the message with you this morning. And there's a very particular reason why we're going to be doing that. And I'll share that with you later. And I think that it'll make make not only a lot of sense, but it'll also help us in our response to what I think the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you today. Let me begin by saying this. You know, I don't know if you're like me, but over these last few weeks, I've had several, probably even many, opportunities to share things, not only encouraging things and helpful things, but also very negative things and things that are misleading. There's so much information out there. And I don't know if you're like this, but times like this make me realize while everybody has an opinion, not everybody's opinion carries the same weight. And sometimes we share things that are not helpful. And I would encourage you during this difficult time to be careful about that. Because just because we read something on the internet, on Facebook, that doesn't necessarily mean that it is true. Sometimes we have to fight the temptation to do that. And that's my message this morning. I want to talk to you about temptation. And hopefully it'll help you. It'll help you through this difficult time that we're going through, and also help us to grow and mature into the people that God wants us to be. Have you ever wondered about how when Eve and then Adam gave in to the temptation of the devil, of Satan, that was the most expensive meal ever? Think about what that one piece of fruit cost, not only Adam and Eve, but certainly us here today. You know, that's why we need to realize how really important this subject of temptation really, really is. You know, maybe you've heard the old saying, I love it. It said something like this, that free cheese is always available in mousetraps. Free cheese is always available in mousetraps. You know, when we give in to temptation, we never know where it's going to take us. So let me ask you a couple of very important questions this morning. The first one is this. Can you overcome temptation? You know, the answer to that obviously is yes, we can overcome temptation if we depend on the Spirit of God, if we listen to his word, if we follow sound advice from others, yeah, we can overcome temptation. But the second question is really important as well, and that is do you overcome temptation? Sure, we all know that we can overcome temptation, but do we? One gentleman once said when I'm faced with two difficult temptations, he said, usually I give in to the one that I haven't experienced yet. Yes, we can overcome temptation, but do we? You know, the book of James has a lot to say about this, but before we get to James, let me just remind you of a couple of things about Jesus and his life, because, you know, we're to follow in Jesus's footsteps. You know, he is to be the one that is leading the way, and we're to walk in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can we? Yes. Do we? Well, not always. But think about this. This is one area that that we really need to follow him in, because when we walk in the footsteps of Jesus, especially when we're tempted, we are following exactly the path that he has made for us. Now, to some people, that might seem like false teaching, even heresy, to say that we need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus when it comes to temptations. But let me remind you, the book of Hebrews in chapter 4 and verse 15 says that we have a great high priest, meaning Jesus, who has been tempted in every way just as we are. Following his footsteps. See, the difference was that not only did he know that he could overcome temptation, but also he did. I think this is what Jesus recognized, this wonderful truth, when he spoke to the disciples in the Lord's Prayer, and when he taught them how to pray, he said, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." You know, the text that I want to share with you this morning comes from the book of James, and it's a really great passage of scripture in James chapter 1, in verse number 12. Listen to what it says here. It says, "God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, 'God is tempting me.' God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God, our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chooses to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession." That's who we are to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now think about this passage, and I hope that you'll open that up there and look at that in James chapter 1, verse 12 through 18, because I want to go through some things here that I think James gives us that will help us to overcome temptation in our lives. You see, because listen, folks, temptation is always going to be a part of life. And when it comes along, it puts us in good company, even the company of Jesus. And here's the important thing to recognize. Because we seek to be people who say no to temptation and who say yes to the will of God in our lives. So here, let me take this passage out of James chapter 1, 12 through 18, and let me share with you some keys that will help us to overcome and to fight temptation in our lives. Here's the first thing. Understand your responsibility in all of this. Now think about that for a moment. Understand your responsibility in all of this. I'm talking about in the issue of temptation. When we're talking about overcoming temptation, when we're talking about choosing the right things in life, say no to the evil, to the immoral, to the things that tempt us. You know, the Bible talks about how we all have a sin that easily entangles us. David had that sin, and we have that sin as well. So here's what we have to do. We have to think about this and realize what our part in all of this really is. You know, he says there in James, he says, when you're tempted, no one should say that God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil. You see, here's the thing. And we do this a lot too. Basically, what was happening was that people were accusing God of setting them up for failure. Have you ever felt like that in anything in life? That somebody's just putting you in a situation that you don't have a chance of winning, that you don't have a chance of overcoming, of being the victor. You know, we and people, all people do this all the time. We say things like, you know, I'm struggling with issues that my parents brought about in my life when I was very young. You know, they didn't raise me right. They weren't there for me. And so what I'm going through today and the things that I'm struggling with, I can't help it. It goes all the way back to there. And what they're really saying is simply that, Lord, you gave me the wrong parents. You know, Lord, you put me in a situation that I couldn't win in. You know, people say things like, you know, I was born with this temperament. I had this born with this temper. Everybody knows me. Everybody understands who I am. And I don't have any choice in that, and I can't help it. I can't help even how I respond in certain situations. And what are they really saying? What they're really saying is, Lord, you made a mistake. You made me like this. So anything that I struggle with, in reality, it's your fault. You see, that's how it goes, isn't it? Lord, you gave me too much to bear, even though the Bible's very plain that he never puts on us more than we can handle. But all too often, that's exactly what we do in life. That's why James here is saying that no one should say, God is tempting me. It's a false accusation against God, saying that he is responsible for your failing to temptations. And listen, folks, We shouldn't live like that. We shouldn't look at the world that way. I mean, think about it. When we think that way, and when he revealed the heart of Jesus to us, that Jesus came to save us not only from our sins but from the effects of our sins. Therefore, we shouldn't struggle with guilt and shame. There's times when temptation has grabbed us, has enticed us, has given birth to sin, as James says here. And the occasions that when we just give in without a fight, and then all of a sudden we wonder, well, this has got to be somebody else's fault. When in reality, we need to make sure that we are taking ownership of our responsibility in this. You know, I think about Job from Job chapter 1, when Satan says to God, says, the only reason that Job is obedient to you is because you're so good to him. If you would strike him, if you would curse him, he would curse you. And if you remember, God unloosed this power of the devil, and Satan took everything that Job had. But Job never did give in and curse God. He didn't do it when he lost his family. He didn't do it when he lost all of his possessions. He didn't do it when his friends and others deserted him and said it was because of his sin that God had brought this upon him. He didn't do it when when he lost his health, he didn't do it. You see, we would look at Job and say, you know, if anybody had a reason to think this way, it was him. But yet he didn't go down that road. You see, the Bible says in James here, he says, each one is tempted when? It says, by his own desire. And that his desire drags him away and entices him to sin. You see, that's the second thing here that I think is a key for us. And that is not only understanding our responsibility, but also understanding that temptation has a great ally. And when I say that temptation has a great ally, I'm not talking about, the devil or demons, although they're working with him and for him. I'm talking about the great ally being ourselves. You know, we give in to temptation when we are enticed, and when our appetites run amok. And sometimes, you know, the devil knows exactly what he needs to tempt us, not what he can tempt us with to get us to fall. I mean, think about it. If we're all truthful here this morning, we would all say that we know the sin that easily entangles us. For many, it's been a sin that we've struggled with for a long, long time. I mean, when are we going to win that victory? When are we going to stop blaming other people and understand that we're responsible? That we, in many ways, are temptation's greatest ally in the way that we give in. Or the third key here, and let me just throw this out here because I think it's so key. And that is, the key to overcoming temptation is to get our desires in check. He says here that temptation comes when our desires get out of whack, and we allow our desires to feed our soul, thinking that we should have this. You know, think about it. When Satan is playing the enticing game, it's an easy game for him. You know, the Bible says that he's dragging us away. He's getting us hooked. He's getting us to hide these sins from our family and think that we're even hiding them from him. He doesn't care what sin you do, as long as you sin. All he wants to see is that you become so comfortable with the process that you give in to that temptation without even thinking. But see, folks, we want to become the people that say no to that sinful process. Did you know that every sin begins with a temptation? Every sin begins with a temptation. And if we could fight this battle on that front, if we would take responsibility that we are such a big part of this, that we can't blame it on anybody else, we can't blame it on God, that temptation has a great ally, and in many ways it's us, that we need to get our desires in check so that we can honor God in the way that we live. But then the one other key here, I think, that comes from James is how everything hinges on transformation. You ever thought about that? Everything hinges on change. I mean, we have to fight temptation so much and win that battle in our heart and mind in such a way that we are transformed. And that which tempts us tempts us no more. Right? Not blaming God for the situation that we find ourselves in. Not being dragged away by the sin that so easily entangles us, enticed by that sin, by having something else happen instead. You know, when we win that battle, and I think that's something that we can learn here from this passage in James, because he says, don't be enticed, don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. Think about this. How do we say no to temptation? We have to rely on that gift from above. We have to rely on that gift from above. Now, of course, that's going to involve something that God needs to do, but also involves something that we need to do. You know, Jesus promised, I won't ever leave you. I won't ever forsake you. I'll be with you to the very end. Jesus promised that I won't leave you as orphans, that I will come to you. I mean, think about this. Jesus may have ascended to heaven, but he's not left us alone. He's not left us to our own desires. We're not here with all this sin and degradation and evil and temptation all by ourselves. We have this ongoing support and encouragement. It's all about transformation, and that can happen. Let me give you a little illustration here that I think will be helpful. You know, when I was a youngster, like many people, you know, I had a way that I kind of lived with my friends and kids at school and, you know, at football practice and all that kind of thing. And then I had another way, you know, that I spoke and lived at home and with my family, with my siblings, certainly with my mother. And you know what, folks, when I was with people that acted badly or spoke badly or wasn't as nice as they should be or whatever you want to bring up in that situation, it was easy to follow along with that. But you know what else was easy? When I found myself with my family, my dear mother, Helen Collins, that I still miss every day. You know, when I was with her, it wasn't hard to live a life that pleased her. It seemed very natural. So in some aspect, the reason we struggle with temptation and give in to temptation is because we're not feeling this presence, the presence of Jesus Christ, knowing that God has to do something in order for us to be victorious, and he's done it. He saved us. He's not left us alone. His Holy Spirit is here with us. But it also, there also is something that we need to do. There's things that we need to do. And when we do what we need to do and fight temptation, then we can live a life that is a life marked by overcoming, by his power, and by his might. You see, the giving of the Spirit also means that we have the possibility to change. You know, I saw this sign somewhere just simply said, the way out. And if you want to get out, if you want to be victorious over temptation, God has given you the way out. We just need to follow him along that way. Follow his footsteps, even in the presence of temptation, because he was tempted, yet he did not sin. So even though we're tempted, we can't and shouldn't just use the excuse of, oh, I couldn't help myself, or, oh, you know, I had this happen in my life, or, oh, these people weren't good to me, or, oh, God has made me this way. No, no, no. God wants us to win this battle, because this winning this battle will help us to win the war. Now, let me tell you why we're going to worship now. I want you to use these next songs that Matt leads us in worship, to be a time of response between all of us and God. Let's ask Him to help us, to deliver us, to give us the strength to be overcomers, to be victorious by His word and by His Spirit living in all of us. Because when we do that, then this wonderful passage here from James will be true for us, that God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. I know you love Him. I love Him. So let's allow His Spirit to give us everything that we need to be victorious over temptation. Let's worship.
You are the Lord. beautiful. You are beautiful. God, you are the most beautiful. You are wonderful. You are wonderful. Oh God, there is no more wonderful. You are wonderful. God, you are the most wonderful. You are glorious. You are glorious. Oh God, there is no one more glorious. You are glorious, God, you are the most glorious.
Christian worship is centered around one thing, and one thing only: the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. As followers of Christ, we believe that it's Jesus' life, death, and resurrection that has given us forgiveness of our sins, that's made us right with God, that's transformed our lives and raised us up from this dead life we used to live. And we believe that it's the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus that means we will rise again when we physically die. This is the whole reason we gather. This is the whole reason we sing songs of praise. This is the reason why we read God's word. This is the reason why we pray. Because this sacrifice and this power has radically transformed us. As a follower of Jesus, your life is not centered around sin. You are not characterized by your sins. You are centered on Jesus. Your life is characterized by what he has done. So if you are able, would you join your brothers and sisters all across the world in taking the bread and taking the cup and remembering what Jesus has done for us? Because we will fight sin. We'll fight sin every day. Sometimes we'll win. Sometimes we'll lose. But at the end of the day, our life is not characterized by our battle. It's not characterized by our failures. It's characterized by the endless love and mercy from God through our Savior, Jesus. Would you pray with me again? Dear God, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for showing us your mercy. God, would we be reminded of these things? Would we not forget them? Would we not lose them? But God, help us to hold on to this. Help us to hold on tightly within our minds, that every day of our life, we would wake up remembering what you have done for us. God, fill us with your love. Fill us with your patience. Fill us with your peace. Let us recognize that your Spirit has been given to us, that we have a friend and a helper, and we are not alone. God, we love you, and we thank you. It's in your Son's name we pray these things. Amen.
Wow, Matt, thank you. What a great song. I hope those songs got you closer to the Lord this morning and will help you this week as you fight the urge, the temptation, and that we will be overcomers through Christ our Lord. Would you pray with me, please? Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for these few moments that we could share together. Father, you were victorious over temptation. You proved that temptation is a battle that can be won. But God, so often it's not a battle that we win. Many times, Lord, it's not even a battle that we fight very hard to win. Sometimes, Lord, it's a battle that we give up almost immediately. So, Lord, whatever the people that are listening to my voice right now, whatever sins that they're struggling with, whatever thing entices them so quickly, whatever desires they have that lead them away, I pray, Lord, that through your power and through your might, through your salvation working in their heart, and through their hard work to be faithful and holy in you, God, may it be a victory that they win. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a blessed week, and I certainly hope that we're going to be able to get together real soon.